Welcome to the Business and Leadership Channel. My name is Michelle Boulay, and I'm so honored to be a sponsor here at this amazing conference because it's my passion to help you connect to your own inner leader and let that transform the businesses and relationships you create. I'm a life coach and healer and an internationally recognized award-winning dance artist. And dancing taught me to listen to my own inner voice and let that guide me to my success. A very common thing that happens for business owners, creatives, and leaders is that you're so close to your next goal or breakthrough and then you stop. Doubt kicks in, worry, procrastination, fear, overwhelm, which kill growth in your business and creative process. So I'm giving a talk here on Saturday, October 24th, where you'll learn tools so that you can show up with clarity and belief in yourself and your ideas, consistency to keep showing up, and the embodied and intellectual understanding to move you gracefully through the challenges you'll meet as you grow, as you go for your goals. If you can't make it live, pick up your phone now, go to Instagram or Facebook, find me, follow me, and DM me the word success, and I'll send you the free resource I'll be sharing at my presentation. It's also in the show notes. However, I do recommend you attend live here or at my main stage presentation to get the full scope of what I'll be sharing to help you realize your creative dreams. And now, please enjoy this next presentation.
Thank you. We'd also really like to acknowledge the fact that we are all part of a collective body here this evening. So we are here with our individual bodies, having our own individual experiences while also being held within the collective. And so we do want to acknowledge the land, that we are standing on right now, that we're residing on right now. We also want to acknowledge the fact that we are all on the same land in terms of planet Earth. And so I think that during this the conference experience, it has seemed like we're all in it together. And we even have a body, an embodiment body in the community right now that is happening. So we really want to acknowledge the bodies that have come before us, the bodies that have given birth to us, the bodies that have supported us and continue to support us, the bodies who encourage us and who teach us. We really want to acknowledge the body of this community that is so vibrant and so beautiful. We want to acknowledge our mentors, our teachers, our families, our communities, everybody who has supported us, and anyone who finds resonance with this work. And so we're going to begin today with an exploration of how did this topic actually begin. This topic, it's very, very, very personal, and it's a beautiful topic, and its seed actually started within this community. So within the embodiment community, there are embodiment circles. And both Sharon and I, and a couple of other people, were members of a body positive embodiment circle. So I created this circle last March during the pandemic, and it continued onwards. And Sharon joined in May, and then it continued to blossom and grow. And what we noticed in having this beautiful group, we were so excited to attend every Sunday evening. We look forward to this. And, it was a very intimate group. There were four core members, or there are four core members, and we would have other people as well join from time to time. During this group, we had, we did lots of beautiful activities together. We had lots of rich discussions about the body, about body compassion, about just how to be within the body in a very gentle and kind way, and how to be with other bodies in that same way. And we started to advertise, to try to get more momentum with our group, to try to get more bodies into the conversation. And what we really noticed was that we weren't able to attract any more bodies. So our advertising didn't really go very far. We had one person, maybe two people, and we started to think, why is it that we're advertising and we have such a beautiful energy behind this, but we're not seeing, the crowds of people coming? And after one of our sessions, Sharon and I sat down and we thought about this together, and we came to the realization that perhaps the people that would naturally be attracted to this topic are not the ones that we're advertising to. Maybe they're not part of the community. Maybe they don't know this community actually even exists. And so we really started to play with that idea about who doesn't know about this community. This community is so vibrant and so alive. But if you don't know that it exists, you can't partake in that feeling of aliveness of the community. And so that's where this idea came from. And we decided, you know, to propose it for the conference because we thought it would really open up a lot of rich conversation. And so, all right, now we're just going to move forward into a conversational part. This whole presentation is going to be very dynamic between myself and Sharon. And so, Sharon, I'm just wondering if you are open to sharing a little bit about your own journey in becoming embodied and becoming, you know, part of this beautiful community.
Yeah, thank you. Well, I guess I will start this story by sharing the first time that I felt embodied. And that would be probably around the age of around 35. And that was after my first yoga class, and it was actually a private yoga class that I had booked. And it was after I had, you know, completed all the poses, and I was just at the end, you know, lying in Shavasana. And I just remember this feeling of utter appreciation for my body, where I was just amazed at how good my body could feel. And I felt so much appreciation for the fact that my body could feel this and could do this this exercise. And the reason why this was very important to me is because at that time, and this is close to 9 years ago, that I was 100 pounds heavier at that time than I am today. And I spent most of my adult life at 100 pounds heavier. And so when one is carrying that much extra weight, there are not only a lot of very, very negative messages that you're constantly receiving from the environment about your body, but it is, you know, you're internalizing those messages, and there's a constant battle around I want to be part of this life, and I want to be able to do all these things, but I can't do those things because my body as it is, it's not accepted, it's not acceptable, it's not, it doesn't look like all the other bodies out there. And so this idea that I could actually enjoy something like a yoga class or a fitness class or a dance class, that was not even, you know, it wasn't even a possibility, because it would involve going to a class full of people that didn't look like me, which for me was just not acceptable. I didn't want people to be looking at me and, you know, passing negative judgment or making fun of me. And it just, you know, by extension, it meant that for me, having a fully embodied experience or an enjoyable experience being in my body, feeling aliveness in my body, was just not an option. It was not an option for me because my body wasn't good enough. It wasn't what was the acceptable body out there. And so I guess the journey towards reconnecting with my body, it came once I found communities that specifically, let's say, advertised themselves as being inclusive to all bodies. And had that not happened, I would never have gone to a fitness class or a yoga class or a boot camp or any sort of activity that involved moving my body or just even being visible. It was for me a barrier. And so when I actually found classes, very, very few of them at that time, that actually they advertised and they really made that, you know, that outreach to include all kinds of bodies in their work, that I felt like, okay, maybe here I could be accepted, or maybe here my body could be allowed. And it was the doorway that I was able to walk through and be able to experience all these things that I guess, you know, we take for granted, being able to enjoy exercise, to enjoy yoga, eventually enjoying hot yoga, which I absolutely loved. That was in my mid-30s, the first time that I really felt that connection to my body.
Thank you, Sharon. Thank you for sharing.
I would love to actually hear your story as well. How you found embodiment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. And there's some commonalities in our stories and then some differences as well. And I think a really important part of my story is that I grew up with connection. I knew what body connection felt like without actually having that language. My body had the language. My mind didn't need to have the language at that time because I was so young, but I grew up within the body of the world. I grew up in nature. I grew up in the forest. I grew up knowing that I was safe in the world. And, you know, being very creative and being very in touch with my vibrancy, as I call it, in touch with my aliveness. The age of about 12, which I know from working with youth is a very fragile, can be a very fragile, vulnerable age with all the different transitions. And that was the first time at which I really became aware of my body. All of a sudden it was like, oh, you know, I have one and it's changing and I'm not necessarily seeing, you know, positive responses to that in the world. And I'm also not hearing any conversations about what that means. So there's no collective conversations happening about how to honor, you know, these changes for this age. And so it was at that point that I felt the first experience of disconnect. And then I became connected again. And it was, and that's in my story, there's a lot of shifting back and forth in between disconnection and connection. And, you know, then it was in my late teens and my early 20s when I started to really feel, you know, the big disconnect for various reasons, which I'm not going to go into all the details here. I could, but it would take up the full time. Just to say that it was a very disconnecting experience for, you know, a good chunk of years. I was not giving my body the compassion and the love that I gave it previous and that I give it now. And so I consider it in my life story, it was a detour into an experience of disconnection, extreme disconnection at times. And when I think about the journey back to connection, to a deeper experience of connection, you know, that's where I started to be in touch with my body through the lens of spirituality and through the lens of sensuality, and also through the lens of movement. I became part of the fitness world. I started, you know, instructing fitness classes. And so Sharon, I was one of those instructors that took my role seriously. And I was body positive before I had that language. And so I made sure that the people in my classes knew that they were welcome. All the bodies were welcome. I really understood my power and privilege in that role. And then when I started working with people as, you know, as a counselor with clients, I took that role very seriously because I knew what disconnect felt like. And I remembered those days and I was able to use that to really inform my practice. And I was working, you know, I built my practice around working with individuals who knew that sense of disconnection, who were disconnected and who didn't know that there was a different way of being. And so in my own story, and if you're interested in more, I've written my whole master's thesis on it. I can certainly give it to anybody to read. But my story was one of shifting. And throughout the shift, what was constant was the fact that my body was always here. My body was always present. Sometimes my mind was gone. Sometimes there was a really huge disconnect in between mind and body. But my body was always present. And that's a gift, it's a joy. Coming back to the body was a rich experience, continues to be a rich experience. There's different layers, you know, with every year, especially now, you know, with late 30s and all the changes in the body that are starting to happen. And so the journey continues. And I'm just so in love with my body. And I'm so in love with the experiences of disconnection that I've experienced too, because I know that that has really enriched who I am and how I'm able to be in this world right now.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned that it's a journey, and I sort of wanted to follow up on that because it really is a journey. It's, for me, it has been an ongoing process. I remember that first experience of, you know, that particular yoga class when I just felt this appreciation for my body at a size that I could never ever accept it being. And that it was, even at that time, it was sort of, wow, that I could actually feel this appreciation for my body as it is in that moment. Mm-hmm. And it was a shift, but it's not like it's an overnight shift. It was, and it still is, an ongoing process of actually remembering just how much my body does for me and what it's capable of doing. Absolutely. And that it does deserve that appreciation regardless of what it is looking like at this particular moment.
It sure does. And the journey, the evolution of the journey, I call it becoming. We're always in a space of becoming. And there's no beginning, there's no end, there's no destination. It's always that space of becoming. And so becoming embodied, at times becoming disembodied, what is that experience like? There's always movement in our stories. I just want to recognize, there's some awesome discussion in the chat. Thank you so much for saying all that. I'm going to go back and read all these comments afterwards. So thank you so much for being engaged. Yeah. Mainstream classes and places are a big no for me. And you know what, Erica, that is something that we're wanting to change. And so we'd be very interested in chatting with you maybe afterwards, because we're both very interested in making classes and places welcoming, inclusive of all bodies.
I mean, that comment right there, that totally speaks to what my experience has been. Mainstream classes, no, I'm not going to feel comfortable. Like, the people there, they don't look like me. I just don't feel like I'll be accepted. And it's in a way, it's already enough of a battle dealing with one's own self-acceptance and feeling good enough to even go to a class like that. And then when you know, you're having to, you know, then be surrounded by people and you don't know, you don't know how inclusive and welcoming the space is actually going to be. Fortunately, in my journey, I was able to get to a point where I could get past that and could find even some mainstream classes that were accepting and inclusive. But for the vast majority of my life, that was just a no. So that's completely understandable. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, going back to what opened the door for me, it was classes that specifically welcomed all bodies. And that was what kind of brought me to your circle, because your embodiment circle is called embodiment, body positivity for all bodies.
And that's an important message. And it, you know, being in this channel in particular, leadership and business, is a very important message for business people to know that we have to be explicit with the language. We have to make sure that people know they are included, because otherwise they don't know. And again, if you don't know, how do you even know that another option exists? If you're so disconnected from your body and nobody opens, you know, opens that door a crack for you, sometimes that's all it needs. And you can poke your head in and see if it's for you, but there needs to be an opening in some way. And if we don't provide that, then how can people enter?
Could you draw us if I could hear a little bit more about what it was like for you. Maybe it wasn't one particular moment like the way it was for me, but I remember that first moment. But I was wondering if there was any particular moment that came to mind when you think back to when you really felt that coming back to your body and that experience of embodiment again.
Yeah. I mean, there are so many moments, so many experiences. My return back to my body was a return in stages. And the number one thing that I recall, like how I knew I was coming back into my body after, and I'm not going to go into it, but it was a chunk of time and there was, you know, some serious stuff happening there. When I started to feel my senses again, and I think I've said this to you before, Sharon, it was a highly sensory experience. I started to notice how things, textures felt. I distinctly remember one day I was like touching my neck and I was like, my neck bones, I can feel them. And so it was a coming back into the body. And I really want to reinforce that the body was always there. The mind, you know, was the one that was gone, but the body was always, always there. And the body started speaking, my body started speaking to me in very, very, very small ways. And I was finally in that space to be able to listen. And so that's what it was, Sharon, for me. It was a sensory experience. It was starting to be present, starting to listen to my body's voices, you know, the different things that it was telling me. And that's how it began for me. And Sharon, I wonder, did you have another question? Sorry.
No, I'd like to please continue.
Yeah, no, I'm just going back to our schedule just to make sure. I love it. We're so fluid. This is so great. Let's just make sure. This is awesome.
I think we're on track.
I think so too. And I think the next thing we wanted to talk about is the fact of, you know, when we talk about the bodies that are not present, and I want everybody just to stop for a moment and think about somebody in your life right now who you think would really benefit from being in this community and maybe is not able to for so many different reasons, because there are people that we know who would benefit from being part of this vibrant community. And for some reason, they're not here. And when Sharon and I noticed that, when we noticed that, you know, there may be some voices missing, there may be some bodies missing, we really started to think, why is that important that we're noticing this? Like other people might have noticed and then just gone about their day, but for us, it really stayed with us, right, Sharon? Would you agree? Yeah. And it was a deeply personal experience. And for me, I think it's because when I think about the body experience, I no longer think of it as an individual experience. When I was coming back into my own body, it certainly was highly individual. But now I see through the lens that this is a collective experience. And because of that, it's important to have communities, you know, in which people feel like they can come and that their bodies are not even just like included, but are appreciated and are necessary and are of value and are worthy. And so Sharon, I'm wondering for you, why is it important for you to be having these conversations?
Well, I think the first thing is that when I think about say the topic of inclusion, how to make all bodies, all people feel included, the first thing that comes to mind is the experience of exclusion. The fact that I felt excluded from most spaces, for most of my life. It has become very important to me to look at, as you said, who is not here, who are the people, the bodies that are not in the room, and what might be occurring, whether it is unconsciously in the messaging, in the advertising, in the makeup of the classes, in the media, what could be going on that could be presenting barriers to people from feeling like they're welcome and that they could be included. I know for myself, just yoga class is a great example. When you look at any kind of an advertisement for a yoga class, what do you see? You see very, very thin people. Usually it's one particular cultural group that is represented. And you rarely ever see, now you start to see a little bit more, but you rarely ever see people of size, people of color, people of size, as being instructors, as even just, the makeup of a yoga class. And so the idea back then, before I got into it, that someone of size could even do yoga. Well, I can't do that. Only skinny people can do that. Only people who are flexible can do that. I had no idea that it is actually possible to do that in whatever body that you have. And that is kind of what also led to that experience of appreciation and amazement that my body was capable of experiencing what yoga is meant to help us experience. And so I think that being mindful of who is not here, who is not in the spaces, and what might possibly be going on that could be a barrier, it's important to think about these things. Because we tend not to. It's sort of human nature. But we notice the things that we see. We don't really necessarily think about the things that we don't see. So it sort of takes that reflection to start thinking about that. And also, I think having conversations, just like what we're doing. My hope is that in the course of this talk and beyond, that there will be more active conversations about inclusion and making embodiment inclusive to everybody. I mean, I have a lot more things I want to say, but actually I would like to hear what you have to say on.
Something
to you.
Yeah, no, totally. Why it's important for me so that embodiment is a space where everybody can find a home, and that can be in classes and workshops and groups and communities and things like that. It's important for me because embodiment, it's a gift. Embodiment is a magical package. Embodiment is individual, collective. It is sensory, it's spiritual, it's sexual, it's sensual, it's social, it's relational. It's every single part of who we are as humans. And we know that this, it's tough to be human sometimes. And we need to have communities in which we can show up in our fullness. And the body is not the full story, but the body is the container of your fullness. And so being able to feel that your body is welcome, not just, the other parts of you, but the entire package of who you are is appreciated. And is not just that you can be there, but we actually want you there. Like, you need to be there. The world needs to hear your voices. The world needs you in your fullness. And that's what embodiment is to me. It's being able to show up in your fullness and being able to see that being received and being reciprocated.
I like the way that you said that. Like, we need you there. The world needs your
fullness. We need you there.
We are all better off. And I'm going to speak, I think, as practitioners and anybody that has something that they're practicing that they are offering to others, that we are better off when we have more points of view, where we have people that offer from their background, a different perspective, different lens of looking at things. It just helps us strengthen our practice when we include these different perspectives, different bodies, different people, different backgrounds. It's also, you know, giving equal opportunity to people. You know, embodiment is for everybody. And if we're not taking those steps to include everybody, then everybody isn't going to experience what embodiment is and experience the healing that comes from embodied practice.
Absolutely. And not even that they're not going to experience it, they're not going to know that they're not experiencing it because they don't know it exists. That's the thing. If there's a big door, you don't know what's behind the door until the door opens and you're able to see inside. Exactly. Yeah. So many beautiful things being said. Maybe we can just take a moment and look at the chat and see if there's anything that anybody is offering, any questions.
I would actually like to put out a question to the chat. If anyone would like to share any experience that they might have had of feeling excluded or like they, you know, weren't being included in spaces. And if that, you know, resulted in, you know, not being able to experience a particular activity or enjoy a particular offering.
Maybe if I may jump in very shortly, that also means attendees, we can unmute you, so you don't have to type it all. If you can also just talk to us directly and we'll enable that for you technically, so you can just maybe share a story with us. So Lily is raising a hand. Maybe that's something you would like to share with us.
Hi, I am ecstatic that you offered this opportunity. I have lymphedema, and part of the problem of lymphedema is that the body swells and takes up more space. And many people who have lymphedema gain weight. And I found that the furniture and the places where I went for the specific treatment of lymphedema, where of all people, they should be the ones to understand, was not inclusive, was not size sensitive, so much so that the part of the treatment is the minutia of the details of measuring how much has the body changed, how much has it gotten bigger, how much has it gotten smaller. They're measuring every inch, and yet if they would just look at the posterior portion and realize it's not going to fit in the chair and it's going to be tight, it's going to be uncomfortable, it's going to be painful. And the lack of sensitivity, knowledge, and the ignorance is beyond belief. Thank you that I could say that and you received it so well.
Thank you, Lily. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah.
Thank you. This is heartbreaking because this happens all the time. This is such an important point of even just looking at the accessibility of the space, the physical space in which you are offering your practice. If you are not offering a space that, you know, all bodies can actually be in comfortably, I mean, already right there, you know, there is exclusion. I really appreciate your point. Thank you.
Thank you very, very much for creating a safe space where I feel comfortable to share. Bless you.
You're very welcome. Lily, and for other people, I'm just going to let you know that the embodiment circle that we facilitate is Sunday evening, Pacific. If you'd like to join us, you can check the embodiment circle schedule. We'd love to have you there. So just the whole, the setup of your practice, the language that you use to describe your practice on your website, you know, the fee structure that you set, all of these, and I'm speaking from a feminist point of view, I do work within a feminist modality, so these things are naturally within our way of practicing, and sometimes I don't realize that that's not the way that other people create their practices until I hear stories like that, Lily, that really remind me of how inaccessible a lot of the world is.
And to further the point around you know, language, there's a lot of other language that can inadvertently contribute to that, you know, feel or contribute to exclusion using gendered language, sizist language, ageist language, ableist language, not only in advertising and websites and things of that nature, but even just in delivering the practice, you know, and we all, you know, kind of do this inadvertently, you know, we sort of talk the way that we're used to talking, and we're not always aware necessarily that some of the words that we're choosing could inadvertently result in some people feeling either excluded or not welcome. And what one that I will share is, and I've heard this throughout my life, and people definitely did not mean anything by it, but this was just something that I experienced, where people would just sort of casually make a comment, oh my God, I look so fat in this dress, or oh my God, you know, I'm gonna gain so much weight. And these are usually people that were very, very substantially thinner than I was. And for me, every time I heard something like that, it was another sort of message of my body isn't, you know, welcome, it's not good. It's not good enough. It's not wanted. Mm-hmm. We can inadvertently contribute to that by the words that we're choosing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
May I offer a perspective as well?
Oh, please do. Yes.
Because I know I'm hosting, but I'm also participating. I'm also learning from this. I think probably all of us have been in a place in their life where they felt like, okay, I don't belong, or I don't feel welcome here. And one of the attitudes that helped me make it feel less painful, where you feel like I'm not one of them, you know, or they are judging me, is that you can be that person who's in that moment there for a reason to offer the other a perspective. Because a lot of people, it's not always meant from a bad place. It's not always like they're out there to try and hurt you. Often, some people might be, you know, there might be bitterness that has to come out some way. But there might be some people who really didn't realize. And if you offer it in a kind way, and you say, you know, if you choose the words like that, it really makes me feel like I shouldn't be here. And I don't think you probably don't intend that to happen. Can I offer my perspective? That you feel like, okay, I'm here for a reason. And that I felt bad, but it means now I can help change this. Now I can help change people's mindset. I can change their perspective, so they see this, which they didn't see before, and you were there to help enable that, and that then gives it more of a purpose, and then the pain wasn't for nothing.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Stephanie. Thank you.
Yeah. I think that as practitioners as well, by say putting out the invitation to others to bring things like this up, you know, if there has been anything that's said that has, you know, resulted in a feeling of being unwelcome, you know, sometimes even just kind of putting out the invitation, it invites, you know, when we have experiences of feeling excluded or receiving messages like that, it's an opening to speak up and to share that. And of course, in doing that, then, you know, anytime we hear another point of view, mm-hmm. I believe we're enriched by that, because it's just something else that we can be mindful of. And it's something else that informs our practice.
And I do want to add on to that. And I want to say, yes, all of that's been said. And this is echoing, I think it was Erica. Yeah, they said that I'm just gonna scroll back for a second. It's exhausting. Yeah, they said it's exhausting to have to be the teacher all the time, right? To have to step up and to be the person teaching. So yes, it's very valuable and meaningful. It's also really exhausting if you're the one who has to do it. And so again, that's why having communities of people who can support you through this. To have self-care, nourishing people around us, especially when we're going into conversations like that, because as we know, and I use the word sacred to describe the body experience, it is sacred for me. It's something that is deeply meaningful and deeply personal, and to have to bring that into conversation and to bring your story into conversation in ways that you're not able to really hold it tightly and safely, you know, that can be very overwhelming at times. And so And I also wanted to say too, that yeah, thank you. Your perspective is definitely needed. I love this engagement in the chat, everybody. I just have to say, this is so beautiful. There was another thing I was going to say, but I've forgotten it. So let's just refocus for a moment because we're running out of time. We could keep going for hours. And Sharon, what is the next part that we would like to move into?
That we do have a guided meditation that we've prepared. And I think before we kind of go into that, I was wanting to know if there was any other points around inclusion, exclusion of bodies that at this point were really just alive, that just really wanted to be said.
Mm-hmm. From the participants, you mean?
From yourself, from myself.
Oh, from myself, okay. There's so much. I mean, there's just so much. We need so much more. Just coming back to that idea of you know, it's hard to tell people that, you know, you just got to love yourself, because the reality for many people is that they're not able to do that. They're not able to access that love through various life situations. There's many barriers to accessing that. And so, you know, without having to fully love your body and love yourself on that deep level, having compassion for your body, compassion for your experiences, compassion for your body's narrative. I think that's where we really need to be. Compassion for our own, compassion for others, compassion for the fact that having a body is difficult. It's a challenge. It's a challenge that we negotiate, and we have to negotiate in different ways. And how we can really, you know, the best way we can help each other is just by extending compassion and kindness and body respect. And I think that's kind of the foundation for me. And that has been the foundation throughout my stories and through the stories of people that I've supported.
I will just, I don't know if I can really add to that, but I'd wanted to comment, Deirdre, that everything that you said, that is why I kept coming to your circle, because mm-hmm. I felt that mm-hmm. just that pure, genuine love, mm-hmm. compassion, acceptance for all bodies and just mm-hmm. how you are.
Yeah.
And I wish that I'd kind of known you a long time ago when you were giving those classes, because then I would have been able to go to them a lot sooner.
Oh, I still give them. This work is ongoing. This is a forever thing. We're always going to have a body, and we're always going to have to know what do I do with this? How can I show up with this in the world?
Yeah, it is definitely ongoing. It's for me, I can say it is a work in progress. It is ongoing.
We are becoming.
And I think this is actually kind of a nice little segue into our guided meditation that you know, we wanted to create for our audience and our listeners. And so I'd like to invite you all to just get comfortable. Wherever you are seated, get comfortable. Close your eyes if you're comfortable doing that. Feel your feet on the ground. Just allow yourself to get grounded. Maybe take a couple of deep breaths. And I'd like us all to take a moment to come back together in this space and feel collectively rooted to this earth. With each other. We are all here together. We opened this session today with this feeling and experience, this expression of gratitude. Gratitude towards the land that we're living on, towards the people who came before us, the bodies who came before us. the bodies who gave birth to us, the bodies who sacrificed for us, who raised us, who taught us. And gratitude towards the embodiment community and the phenomenal work that they've done to create this conference and this collective space that we are all in right now. And we've thanked our bodies for being here throughout it all. Their loyalty, their resilience, even when we have not felt it. Even when we felt our bodies weren't good enough or not serving us in the way that we wanted them to. Whatever harsh words our bodies have absorbed from us or from others, they have carried us. They've carried us through wounding and trauma. They've carried us through celebration, through light. They've brought creativity and life into the world. They've carried us through the history of our lives and the histories of our ancestors. So as we thank our bodies for everything they've done for us, I invite you to bring that gratitude in a little deeper. Bring it into your muscles, into your bones, your cells, your molecules. Bring your gratitude right to the essence of you, the person that exists within your body, the person who is the culmination of all your experiences that you've had living in this body. Know this, your body that you inhabit right now, that has carried you through your history, it is included. It is part of the world we all inhabit. It is part of the earth under your feet, under all our feet. Your body, all of our bodies, here together right now, in this collective embodied community. Your body, you are included.
So beautiful. Thank you, Sharon. And I think with that, we're going to open up for any questions. I don't know if we have any in the Q&A.
There's none in the Q&A, but everybody who's here, you know, you can just join us and talk to us directly like Libby. Well, we'll just unmute you and you can just talk right out.
Wonderful. And I do want to let you know that this is a snippet, right? It's a snippet of a bigger conversation. And so we hope that we made you curious and that you're wanting to know more and you're wanting to join and you're wanting to continue these conversations with other people, because that's what we're doing right now. We're opening that door so that others can come on in and have the same kind of conversations.
So
anybody have anything?
Nothing in the Q&A, but ladies, I think it is ladies at the moment. Oh, Lily would like to share something.
Lily, yeah. Lily, would you like to speak aloud?
Hi, I want to say thank you very, very much. I came only a few minutes before I began speaking. I heard what you were talking about. And I just want you to know that in those couple minutes that I was listening to you, I felt safe enough to share. So I'm sure your circle is phenomenally wonderful and it's so necessary in the world today. Some people give lip service to some things that you're saying, but you literally embody it. Thank you.
Thank you, Lily. Yeah, my heart is feeling that. And we embody it because we know, we remember. We're We're part of the becoming. Thank you, Lily.
And you can see Tandi put the circle information in the chat. So you can just click on that, and from there it will take you straight on to where you need to go. So you know where to find it even after this conversation is ending. This isn't the end of it. This is the beginning.
Certainly not. And we do have another member here. Rowena's in the house. She is definitely a vital part of our circle.
May I ask about the circle? So, because I only just found out about that, maybe other people are in the same position who might listen to this. You know, you might even listen to this recording if you're in your car in a year from now and you purchased a package and you're listening to our conversation. Mm-hmm. So if you have no idea where to start with the circle, is this an international circle set up, or can you maybe explain a bit?
Yes, it's part of this community. There are so many different circles that are happening. Before the pandemic, they were happening in person. And once the pandemic entered our lives, as it did, they became virtual. And there are topics, so many different topics. Ours is body positivity, but there are, you know, any topic you can think of, it's probably already represented, from trauma and sexuality, creativity, things like that. And so basically it's an hour per week, and we come together and we do 10 minutes of movement, 10 minutes of meditation, and then the rest of the time sharing. So we usually have a topic. We just finished a 4-session beautiful exploration of spirituality and sexuality and social connectedness and something else which I'm forgetting.
Body positivity and self.
And self, yes. Right, the self. I forgot the self. And so, yeah, it's a fun time. It's just an hour per week, and it's free. And the link is in the chat.
Oh, wonderful. So that means you would go on the link that we put into the chat. So for people who are listening and can't see this right now, so it's basically https://embodimentcircle.com/ embodimentcircle-online/. So you can go there. And that means you can see all the different circles that are available, and you can join the topic that you're most interested in and just turn up when it's there.
There you go. Yeah, it's another beautiful thing that this community offers. It's just so many wonders. I think that there's a question there, a time of day. Right now it's Sunday evening. It could change, but Sunday evening, 7:30 p.m. Pacific for our circle. You can look at the schedule online. Yeah.
And people text into that, or are they on screen and sharing with each other face to face? So how can you imagine it?
It's usually face to face. Yeah. And you can keep your camera off if you would choose, though.
Thank you so much for that. And as we're coming to an end, indeed, it's already 4 minutes before the close hour. Time flies when you're having fun. One last question, sort of one top tip, how to be more in embodiment every day.
I do want to mention, just before we do that, Rowena said, she mentioned a great point. Thank you, Rowena. Yes, we are in a break until November 8th, sorry, for the circles. So please do check that schedule for the update, but there is a short break before the next round. Would you like to go first, Sharon?
Top tip. I'm going to say practice inclusion by including yourself. Include your body. Know that your body is included. And give some moment of your day, even if it's a minute, to let your body be included in your life.
Love it. And mine is my life mantra, which is be gentle with yourself, be gentle with your body, be gentle with your story, and be gentle with other people's stories.
Love it. Thank you so much, Deirdre and Sharon. And for everybody who's here, you can continue the conversation in the Facebook group. We also have the coffee breakout rooms. I joined one yesterday. It was a lovely, open, deep, connected conversation. So don't miss out on those. You can make amazing friends here. And obviously upgrade. This is your last chance for the 50% off. So it's a shameless plug for us, because it does help us to do this work, and it helps us also make this available for people who need all these tools and can't afford the upgrade. So if you can, help us with that. And otherwise, I all wish you a wonderful Saturday night, Sunday day, weekend. Thank you for being here. Thank you, lovely ladies, for sharing the space with us. And all of you have a lovely time.
Thank you so much, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you.